friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's the sixth day of competition at the World Cup football tournament in Russia. Japan defeated Colombia 2-1 in Tuesday's opening match in Saransk, Russia. Now, the Colombians played most of the game with 10 men after midfielder Carlos Sanchez was sent off in the third minute for a handball in the penalty area. And here's another fun World Cup fact for our Voice of America listeners. That's the second fastest red card in World Cup history. Another South American player, defender Jose Alberto Batista of Uruguay, was sent off after only 54 seconds in a 1986 World Cup match for a reckless challenge on Scotland's Gordon Strachan. In Tuesday's World Cup match, Shinji Kagawa stepped up and converted the penalty for Japan. Juan Quintero equalized for Colombia in the 39th minute, but the Japanese retook the lead through a goal by Yuya Osako in the 73rd minute. Final score from Saransk, Russia, Japan 2, Colombia 1. Japan now tops Group H with the maximum 3 points. Meanwhile, the Lions of Teranga from Senegal kicked off their World Cup campaign Tuesday with a Group H match against Poland in Russia's capital, Moscow. The Senegalese are back in the World Cup for the first time since 2002, when in their debut, they made a surprising run to the quarterfinals at football's premier event. Lots of Senegalese fans happy right now. The Lions of Teranga lead Poland 2-0. We're in the 72nd minute. Senegal took the lead in the 37th minute after a shot by Idrissa Gueye was deflected in by Polish defender Tiago Czonek. And reporter Prince Nesta gave me another fun World Cup fact soon after that. Poland's own goal against Senegal is the fourth own goal at Russia 2018. It's already tied for third most at a World Cup tournament. There were 5 own goals at Brazil 2014, and the most own goals, 6, were at France 1998. Senegal got its second goal in the early in the second half, and right now it's Senegal 2, Poland 0. Joining us is Prince Nesta right here in studio. Sporty World Cup greetings, Prince.
Hey there, Sonny. Incredible stuff. Did you see the second goal? Such a fantastic goal.
Beautiful goal. And I saw the Senegalese head coach, Aliou Cisse. He looks delighted there in Moscow.
It's such a dream start, I'm telling you. And finally, finally, hope for the African continent. As you know, before the start of the match, pundits and critics had actually given Senegal a slim chance to win, considering the stars in the Poland team. I mean, they have Robert Lewandowski, a fantastic player for Bayern Munich. But we don't want to jinx it yet, Sonny.
Still early.
Anything can happen in football.
And let's give a shout-out for the Senegalese goal scorer, that second, Nyang with the goal for Senegal. So right now, Senegal 2, Poland 0. We're in the 74th minute in Moscow. And Prince, I have my fingers crossed that Africa can get its first victory at Russia 2018.
For sure, for sure. We are hoping for the best.
In the last match on Tuesday, in Group A, Russia will host Egypt in St. Petersburg. The Egyptians are coming off a heartbreaking 1-0 loss in the final moments to Uruguay. The Russians, meanwhile, romped over Saudi Arabia 5-0 in their opening World Cup match. Now, Egypt lost to Uruguay without Mohamed Salah, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year and star striker for Liverpool. Salah hurt his shoulder in last month's UEFA Champions League final defeat to Real Madrid. Egypt's Argentine coach, Hector Cooper, told reporters Tuesday that Salah is fit and he thinks he'll play against the Russians. Fingers crossed for Mo Salah that he gets out there and plays against the Russians. In World Cup action Monday, it was a very good day for the European teams. Sweden, Belgium, and England all scored victories. Joining us now with more details is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Ooten, who is kicking off with England's captain. Sporty World Cup greetings, Gwen.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny. England fans celebrated their big 2-1 victory over Tunisia on Monday, and all hail team captain Harry Kane.
Harry Kane! Harry Kane! Harry Kane!
We thought it was a really good game, but we thought we were going to cry before the end. Like, we thought we were never going to get our second goal. Huh? We loved it. It was a good game, and everything is great about Russia. Everyone's looked after us really well. Everything's been amazing.
He is the best person in the world. So good.
Thank you.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
Very happy.
We didn't see it coming.
Kane scored twice, including a last-gasp header in the 91st minute. England's spotlight was only overshadowed by the number of fans in attendance. Tunisia outnumbered England in fan size, but they all left the stadium disappointed.
Actually, I feel sad. It's sadness because not only Tunisia, four Arabic country, none of them could at least do draw. All three of us lose in the 90 minutes. It's very sad. It's very sad. But meanwhile, we will not lose hope. We have a very good team, and we hope for better against Belgium. Thank you very much. We love Tunisia. Love you.
Tunisia will next play against Belgium in Group G on Saturday. In that same group, England will face Panama on Sunday. And speaking of Panama, they may have lost their 3-0 World Cup opener against Belgium, but these fans didn't seem to notice.
Nosotros, primer mundial. Todo el mundo dice Panamá cero.
This Panama fan says, it's our first World Cup. Everyone said Panama 0, Belgium 10. Belgium, it was by a miracle that you made 3 goals. A miracle. I like that attitude. Yes, Panama held their own in the first half, but Belgium scored all 3 goals in the second. Belgium fans said they were a bit shaken during that scoreless first half, but they're glad they came back strong.
Super, super, super. We had to wait long for the first goal, but when once the first goal was there, it was a rollover. But we were a bit anxious at halftime, but super feeling now. So we're going to have some party now.
Maybe they'll have more reason to celebrate after their next match on Saturday. Also on Monday, Sweden defeated South Korea 1-0 in their World Cup opening match. And South Korean fans left the stadium in tears.
Because we lost the game, but I believe... I wish I will win the next game. Yeah, I hope.
Sweden dominated the game, yet missed a slew of chances before claiming victory in a 65th-minute penalty kick. And guess what made the difference? The video assistant referee. The VAR confirmed the penalty kick. Sweden won the match, and Swedish fans celebrated their first World Cup opening win since 1958.
I think it was a good match, and I think it was... nice for Sweden to win, and it was, they deserve to win.
To Sweden to win.
Yeah.
It was fair.
They had good chances in the first half and then didn't score, but in the second half they didn't score and then just go for defending all the game. So, yeah, it's a good victory.
Sweden next takes on Germany in Group F, along with South Korea and Mexico. Those matches will be played on Saturday. More to come, more to come. These are exciting times. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Gwen talks about exciting times for Senegalese football fans, because right now, Senegal leads Poland 2-0 in the 79th minute in Moscow, the Russian capital. It looks like Senegal is going to be the first African team to get 3 points and a victory at the World Cup in Russia. The Lions of Taronga, of course, playing in the World Cup for the first time since 2002 when they made their debut at Japan, South Korea. Now, Egypt, Morocco, Nigeria, and Tunisia all lost their opening World Cup matches. For reaction to the African performances so far in Russia, let's go to Moscow and reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. And I have with me here some journalists who look at the performance of African teams so far in this tournament. I'd like to ask them to introduce themselves and tell me what they think about African teams at this tournament.
My name is James Onyango from Daily Nation in Kenya.
I'm Robin Toskin from the Standard newspaper in Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Fred Kawesi, New Vision, Kampala, Uganda.
James, I'd like to begin with you. What do you think about the performance of African teams in this tournament? Four teams so far have had their opening games, and none of them have won any of their opening matches.
I think the going so far has been very turbulent for African teams. The first four teams all losing their matches in the tournament. Maybe when Senegal play the next, their match, then probably they'll come up and try to, you know, revive Africa's honor. But so far, it's been very gloomy for African teams in this tournament.
Well, as Jim says, it's really been gloomy and the performance has been far from impressive. And most fans across the continent were always having their hopes on Nigeria, because we know with their past history, Nigeria have been always performing very well at that top level. But then against Croatia, that performance was really dismal, and there must be genuine fear now across the continent that the African teams will not perform at this tournament. Remember that Morocco were beaten by Iran, a team everyone expected at least Morocco to get a result over so that they can look for something against Portugal and Spain. But now having lost that game, then that puts them under really much pressure. And today we've seen how Tunisia have just lost at the last minute to England, yet they'd been playing so well at that point until just lapse of concentration that led to Harry Kane scoring the winning goal for England.
For me, it's just the same old story. We keep hoping for a better campaign all the other years. It's been the same story for African teams over the years. You remember we've had issues before with Ghana and Nigeria complaining about money. This time there's no money in Nigeria. It's the same old story. We just don't have what it takes to do so well at the big tournament. It's going to take a lot more than just coming and making up appearances and having players coming from different leagues, getting assembling teams to come for World Cup tournaments. It's going to call for a lot of investment, a lot of structures from the youth levels to be able to come and compete with the very best at the world stage. So for me personally, I think we're just wasting a lot of time trying to dream about expecting miracles happening at the World Cup. I think we have a lot of work to do as African teams, mentally, psychologically, everything has got to be put together to come and really compete with the very best at the world stage.
For all of us sitting in this room, we've watched all these games, the opening games of all these teams, and what could possibly be the problem with the African team? Is it the coaches, or is it the players, or is it the technical expertise, or is it from the federation? What do you think really is the problem?
I think we've got to invest a lot more in terms of the technical side of the game. I don't think in Africa we've really invested so much in terms of preparing technical experts. We are calling experts, or the guys that really can come through and really manage. And
talking about coaches.
Coaches, the guys that really sit down and plan and say, these are the youth structures we're going to go with. Are we going to assemble teams in this kind of format? We're going to follow through. I mean, remember the famous Nigerian team that has come over the years. It wasn't really by accident. And this is a team that had come through the Olympics. I remember the generations of the Canoes. It's a team that had come through, that have been built over years, and they came and competed. I mean, just look at all the African teams. Which team has impressed at youth level? There's nothing. You can't start dreaming about coming and making an appearance here. We're hoping that we can make the semifinals. But it's got to take a lot more than just coming and hoping all the time. So I really think, for me, we've got to go back to the drawing board. We've got to invest a lot more in terms of the coaches, bring up competent people who are going to come and assemble teams, develop players mentally, players who can. I mean, look at the way, Iran, how do you lose to Iran? It's just so disappointing.
I think really Fred Kaweesi is really bitter about the African team's performance. Yes, he could be justified to feel the way he's feeling, but then we've got to look at the performance of the five teams at the World Cup against maybe those that did not qualify to the World Cup. Because personally, I feel that such countries as Nigeria, Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt, they've placed themselves to at a level that they can qualify for the African for the World Cup. What will you say then about countries like Kenya that even qualifying for the African Nations Cup is always a problem? That is to tell you that such countries as Senegal, Nigeria, as I've said, at least they've got themselves to a certain level now. What is left is for them just to take the game to another level. And I will agree with Fred that we need the coaches at a lower level so that they can impart the technical aspects of the game on those players. Because already they've demonstrated that they can play the game. We watched Tunisia against England. They matched them. They were not so defensive. They attacked even England. They kept the ball. But then that scoring bit of it, or that final third, is what we have a problem with. And therefore, maybe we need the coaches to perfect on that. But then credit to those countries, because their youth development programs have enabled them to be qualifying regularly for the World Cup. So maybe, like every African would hope, that we get the qualified coaches. A few years ago, I talked with Marcel Desailly, the former France player born in Ghana. He said that in Africa, we always cry that we don't have money. But for him, he feels that we have to have the teachers. We have to have the coaches first. So the question would be, have we developed enough coaches to bring the kids through the system so that they can perform at the highest level?
Your final comments on this?
Mine, other than developing the ability to challenge for titles at the bigger stage, I think probably if you look at the performance of Morocco against Iran, a last minute goal again, and then today we see the team that has just played today, which is England beating Tunisia at the last minute. It calls for mental strength, ability to hang on until the last minute and to, give your best to the last minute, which I think is missing so far. If our teams, work on that, probably we'll see a better performance. But let's wait for Senegal, then we'll talk more conclusively.
Comparing what happened in 2014 and what you've seen so far with the second games in all of the groups, on the way, what do you make of the tournament so far, 6 days into the tournament?
I think this tournament will be as close as ever, more than ever. I remember Lionel Messi saying the same, that it will not be a walk in the park for the big footballing nations. And it's coming to pass. Even England have their struggle against Tunisia. We've seen how Brazil were held by Switzerland. That is to tell you that other nations have really developed. They've put their game up there. And therefore, it behoves, like we said, African maybe to learn from other countries to take their games to another level. And this tournament, I think, will live up to its billing, as Messi said, that it will be very close.
I think for me, this could turn out to be one of the best tournaments. I think the weather does suit most of the teams. I mean, if you look at all the teams that have come here, a majority of the players play in Europe, so they found the conditions perfectly for them. We've seen wonder goals, we've seen everything. Fantastic football. Yes, fine. You saw the Mexican game against Germany. Half of the team do play in Europe. I mean, they felt so comfortable. They didn't feel intimidated or anything. So I think this could turn out to be one of the best tournaments we're going to have. Fans should look forward for more exciting football.
My take on this is that we wait and see, and day by day we approach the tournament and the matches that come our way. Each day presents something new. But so far, so good. We wait and see how the teams will perform.
And that will be all from me in Moscow, Russia. It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale, speaking with us from Moscow. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In Moscow, we're in the 89th minute. Senegal leads Poland 2-1. If the Senegalese can hold on to that lead for the extra time few minutes, they will be the first African team to pick up 3 points and a victory at Russia 2018. Senegal 2, Poland 1. We're in the 89th minute in Moscow. Tony Nezianya is a former sports editor of the News Agency of Nigeria. Tony is also a former spokesman of the Nigerian Olympic Committee. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye asked Tony about the performance of the five African World Cup teams.
I think that there is, in the case of some of these other teams, I don't know what could have gone wrong between the Egyptians, the Moroccans, and even the Tunisians. You know, but in the case of Nigeria, I make bold to say that they are featuring a foreign-based team. It's not an indigenous team, and because it's not an indigenous team, there's no indigenous content. There are no local content there is that feeling of the alien coming to play for you, and then it doesn't go well. The fans at home are not happy. They are not attuned. They do not know the players. They don't feature in their local leagues and all that kind of thing. And you know, there's no way you can actually relate to them. And even those of them that are in foreign teams, so many of them warm the benches and all that. So to that extent, it's a team completely alienated from the people. And that's not very good. That's not how we grew up. So many of our past heroes who made us proud that, of course, you know that 1996 still remains a reference point. And so what we find today are teams and players that do not have any relationship whatsoever with fans at home.
Second round matches of various groups will soon start. Is there any hope for African teams in the World Cup, given the fact that Tunisia is the only one to have scored since the World Cup began?
The hopes are fading, fast fading, because many of the African teams are not known to bounce back when they are in such dangerous situations. So I do not know. My calculation is that some of our teams are packing their baggages to return home. And for us to go and start looking again at who could have been responsible for this.
From the performances of the African teams so far, some analysts believe that various local leagues in Africa are not doing well, and that is the outcome of what we've seen so far in the World Cup. What's your position on this?
Yes, indeed. That is the picture that has been painted by some of these foreign legions who come here to come and raise and handle our national team. So they don't see anything good, they don't see anything right in our local players. But I think that they must have to look at themselves, see whatever glasses or something that they could use to seek out the local players, you know, because the local players are strong, they are strong-willed, they are committed, they are determined people. The more than the kind of players they hunt from various leagues in Europe. You know, so until we begin to take a deeper look at what the local leagues can throw up, then we must be able. Then we can have a resurgence. You know, but the hopes are fading, and very very fast indeed.
And some other analysts also say that some of the African teams did not prepare very well for this tournament, and that this is the outcome that we are seeing now. Do you share this view?
It's not so much of that preparation. It is so much of the content. If the content is right, if you have the very local boys who are committed, who are coming from certain background and wanting to make a difference in their families and all that, you see, a combination of all those things will help us to build very strong-willed, committed players. But when you have a situation where players that you hawk or pluck from the foreign leagues, some of the boys who are nurtured without the home determination, without the spirit of nationalism in them, I do not think that they can actually make the difference, because these are boys who see it as an opportunity of a lifetime to qualify, to be ranked among the best and the world, and they want to steal the opportunity. Look at the history of past players. This is so clear. So, but what we have, honestly, I do not think that we can build a team around some of these kind of players that they hire for us.
That's Tony Nezianya, former sports editor of the News Agency of Nigeria. And Tony was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos. And Senegal on the verge of winning for Africa at the World Cup. Senegal 2, Poland 1, final from Moscow. And that wraps up a June 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Go Lions of Taronga!
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
After a controversial constitutional referendum in May raised the possibility of two more terms, Burundi's president Pierre Nkurunziza announced on June 7th that he would not run again in 2020. The United States had criticized the referendum process for a lack of transparency, the suspension of media outlets, and attempts to pressure voters. Pierre Nkurunziza was elected president by Burundi's parliament in 2005 and re-elected by popular vote in 2010. In 2015, Nkurunziza announced that he would run for a third term, disregarding the term limit provisions of the Arusha Agreement, which helped to end Burundi's civil war. His decision sparked a political and security crisis from which the country has yet to fully recover. This crisis included a failed coup attempt, civil unrest, government repression, and the exodus of political and economic refugees. In 2015, Nkurunziza won the controversial presidential election. In May of this year, the ruling party organized a constitutional referendum. The United States and other countries voiced concerns that passage of the revised constitution would be interpreted as resetting presidential term limits, allowing President Nkurunziza to run again. His announcement not to run in 2020 therefore surprised most observers. The United States welcomes President Nkurunziza's recent announcement that he does not intend to seek a fourth term, reaffirming the promise he made to the Burundian people in 2015, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. His decision to step down of his own accord would be a strong step forward for Burundian democracy and would set a positive example for other leaders in the region. We call on the government of Burundi to take transparent steps to improve governance, respect for human rights, civic space, and media freedom. These measures are essential for free, fair, and open political competition ahead of the elections in 2020, she said. The United States reiterates our continued commitment to our partnership with Burundi and its people in support of sustainable peace and development.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll look into the controversial topic of term limits for African leaders. Many heads of state disdain the restriction in order to maintain a grip on power. Term limits versus leaders for life on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports. Please join me at 1630 and 1830 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.